Good morning, Lighthouse. In my attempt to be more cool like my associates, I have a question to ask you. What did the turkey say to the computer? Google, Google. So now are you ready for the Word of God? Well, this week we get to celebrate what I personally believe is one of the greatest moral and political achievements of our entire nation. That we as a nation would set aside a day, a national holiday, specifically dedicated to giving God thanks for our freedom and for our benefits of every kind. To me, that is one of the greatest victories that's ever been won in America. Now, I realize that it would be pretty much impossible to get a national holiday like that one adopted in the political climate in which we live today, especially one thanking God, you know, the one that our coins say that we still trust in, and our bills and all that, for the incredible benefits that from Him that we enjoy in our country today. I don't think you'd ever get it done today. But it does give me pride and great joy to know that at least the stock from which we came indeed understood the source of all of our benefits. God is the source of our blessings, folks. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Gratitude is one of the most important character traits that you could possibly have. Gratitude makes an incredible difference in our lives. And, of course, the message title today is The Dynamic of Gratitude. Sometimes it seems that most people fall into one of two basic groups when it comes to the subject of gratitude. There are those who constantly whine and complain about what they do not have. And then there are those who constantly give thanks for what they do have. Which one of those groups do you fall into, by the way? But did you have to ask that? Let me ask you this question. Those who have more, are they thankful because they have more? Or do they have more because they're thankful? Did you pick up on it? Did you get it? Those who are wealthy, those who are blessed, those who are abundantly supplied, are they thankful because they have more? Or do they have more because they are thankful? The Scriptures have a lot to say about the answer to that question. Believers, we got a lot of believers here today, don't we? Matter of fact, I can't imagine anybody else wanting to come hear what I have to say if you're not a believer. Believers are commanded in Scripture to be thankful. We're commanded. It's an order. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Believers are furthermore commanded in Scripture to give thanks. Psalm 105, for an example, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works, glory ye in His holy name, let the heart of them that rejoice seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore, remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Believers are also commanded to demonstrate their gratitude. Psalm 107, verse 22, for example, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. To be thankful, to give thanks, to practice thanksgiving, these are ordered more than 100 times in Scripture. So just how important is thanksgiving? How important is gratitude in our life? Well, let's look at some of the principles of gratitude. I want you to see how it works. You realize there's basically three elements when it comes to being thankful, when it comes to gratitude. We're commanded to what? Be thankful. If you are thankful, then gratitude exists. Are you following me? We're also commanded to give thanks. So thus, gratitude now is stated. We're also commanded to practice thanksgiving. You know, it says offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Thus, gratitude is expressed. Now, that's a little bit technical, and I don't know if that's going right over your head or not, but let me compare it to something that I know for sure you're going to understand. Especially you ladies, you're going to get this, whether any of the guys do or not. You see, gratitude is very similar to love. Okay, ladies, are you with me? Listening? All right, your husband claims that he loves you. So we assume that love exists. Your husband tells you, I love you. So we have love now that is stated. But is that truly love yet? Well, let's see. He says, I love you, but he spends his paycheck at the bar. He says, I love you, but he doesn't help you with anything around the house. He says, I love you, but he's abusive when others are not around. Now, let me ask you, does love really exist if it's not expressed? I would think opinions might vary a little bit, but I'm pretty sure you ladies know what the answer is to that. Now, I'm not saying that ladies know more than men, but wisdom is called by a feminine name in the Proverbs, isn't she? Just saying. Well, then let me ask you this. Does gratitude really exist if it is not expressed as well in the things that we actually do to demonstrate our gratitude to the Lord? James, not the Apostle James, Jesus' brother. Of course, this guy probably told you too, but he gave us a very similar principle when he said in James chapter 2, verse 17, so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. There are some principles that need to be understood about gratitude. Next, we're going to look at the power of gratitude. Did you know there's tremendous power in gratitude? Where gratitude does not exist, and there's a lot of places today that gratitude does not exist, evil thrives where gratitude does not exist. A lack of gratitude is a major factor as to why lost people stay lost. What happens when God reveals himself to man? Some want to know more. Some are thankful. Some look at the beautiful day out there and they just praise God for it. They know there's a God because nobody could make that unless it be God. In Romans 1, verse 22, of some it says that because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were what? Neither were thankful. Where gratitude does not exist, evil thrives. They became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We know that ingratitude is a sign of our times. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, know this also that in the last days, do I have to convince you that we're in the last days? Or can you see it? In the last days, perilous times shall come. There'll be plagues and pandemics. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And right in the middle of this description, we find unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Gratitude is a key factor that brings men to Christ. All of us are blessed of the Lord. Do you realize that? God's given the same thing to you that He's given to everybody else. He's given an opportunity to know Him. He's given you the health that you, whatever, to whatever degree that is that you have right now. So many good things. The rain falls upon the just and also on the unjust. God has revealed Himself and He has revealed His goodness to all of us. No one has been left out of this. It is our response to God's goodness that always comes in one of two ways, one of two things. We are thankful and thus we seek Him. Or we are unthankful and we seek Him not. It goes to down one of those roads. Always comes out the same. There is an entitlement mentality that is sweeping our country today. It has been around for a good while and it is getting worse and it has gotten worse. Especially in these last years. This mentality is a product of men being unthankful. That's where it comes from. Gratitude says, I owe someone else for what I receive. You know, Paul the Apostle, he asked, what do you have that you didn't receive from somewhere else, someone else, some other source? Every good thing I have, I received from somewhere. Gratitude says, I owe someone, something else, someone else for what I have. Ingratitude says, you, the world, the government, you all owe me and it's mine and you're keeping me from it. You say, would anybody actually say that? Used to, they just acted like it. Now they just openly say so. Lives change. Lives change when men become thankful. When men see the blessings, they realize that they come from someone else, and they understand that they're blessed. Gratitude calls us to give back. 2 weeks ago, when I last spoke, I demonstrated in Scripture how that giving and love are indivisibly connected. Do you remember? Well, today, I would hope that we can see that gratitude has that same connection. The demonstration of our gratitude is called thanksgiving. That's what it's called. Let them offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving unto His name. Thanks what? Giving. It might be any form, but gratitude is always demonstrated in giving. That's why it's called thanksgiving. It might be money. It might be service. It might be friendship. It might be time or some other gift. But gratitude is always demonstrated in some sort of giving. When we, out of love and gratitude, obey the command that we have now come to know here at Lighthouse as heart of purpose. Were you here 2 weeks ago? You remember? We choose what part of the blessing that God has bestowed upon us, the blessing that He's given us, we choose what part of that that we're going to give back to express our gratitude to honor the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9:7, here's what He said. He says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. That means he makes a choice. He chooses. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Thus causing God's law of sowing and reaping to be applied accordingly. That law applied sounds like this. 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Are you able to do that, to abound to every good work, because you have this wonderful abundance? Or do you have this wonderful abundance because you're grateful, you're thankful, and you do abound to every good work? When we do this, when God's law is placed in force, the dynamic begins to move. And that was our message title today, The Dynamic of Gratitude. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9, he goes back to the Psalms and he quotes Old Testament scripture. He says, "As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us," what? Thanksgiving to God. People who are grateful give back. People who are thankful always give back. And it results in even more thanksgiving. Our gifts are used in the work of the Lord. And we reach other people. We've been seeing some new folks get saved around here lately, and it's wonderful. And they're thankful that they're going to heaven. They weren't thankful before, but now they are. Oh, they were thankful. They just weren't thankful for that yet. Amen? And then you go on and read verse 12. Look what it says. It says, "For the administration of this service," in other words, with the applying of God's law of sowing and reaping and God's blessing, "not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God." The result is that more and more people coming to know the Lord, they're becoming thankful, they're joyfully giving back, and the dynamic continues on and on and on and on. You know that all of the churches, I'm talking about real churches, not the phony stuff, all of the churches that are preaching the gospel all over the world today, they came from one source. Just like we all came from one source, Adam. All the churches came from one source as well. They came from a single church in Jerusalem, Israel, numbering when the Lord ascended back into heaven and gave them power to take the gospel to the end of the world, they numbered about 120. How did a church, a single church of 120 people, manage to populate the entire today's world with real believers and real churches spreading the real gospel to the lost? All over the world going on right now. That all came from that one church. How'd they do that? It's right. It happened because believers quit whining about what they did not have and became grateful for what they did have. And they didn't just stop by saying thank you or being thankful. They expressed it by what they got out and did. The grateful the people who are truly thankful are always going to ask this question, "What can I give back?" Let me read it to you in Psalm 116. In verse number 12, the psalmist says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He saved me from my sin. He feeds me, he clothes me, he shelters me, he protects me. He supplies my every need and so much more above that. He treats me like I live like a king because of my blessings that come from Jesus. What shall I render," the psalmist says, "for all his benefits toward me?" He says, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds." That means he set you free. If Jesus shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. This Thanksgiving week, this could be the beginning of a life of gratitude expressed. It's one thing to be thankful. It's another thing to come in here and sing praises and thank the Lord. Mary, you're pretty good at that. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you want to know how to say thank you, listen to Mary. She'll teach you how to do it. Why am I thankful? I'm thankful because Jesus died for my sins and was buried, and the third day he rose again. And he paid for me the complete, 100% complete penalty for every failure in my life. He died for my sins. He set me free. He gave me life eternal and an abundant life here on top of that. And he has done the same thing for you if you're willing to receive it. May I just add one thing? He doesn't owe you anything. No, Jesus didn't go to the cross because he owed it to us. Jesus went to the cross out of 100% love because he loves me. Now, that may be hard for you to understand. I can't understand quite why God loves me so much either. I mean, I know me well enough to know that I'm not that lovable. Well, Lisa might think so on a good day. But not every day. I'm not lovable. I'm a sinner. I have sinned against God. I have failed Him. I have fallen short of His glory. And I've done it on purpose. I remember one day in Bible class we were talking about sin and iniquity. And somebody wanted to know if it was on purpose. How do you sin and it's not on purpose? That's called a mistake otherwise. Sin is always on purpose. And the Lord loved me anyway. And He died for me anyway. And He saved me anyway. That's love, folks. That's the real thing. Lord, because of what You have done for me, I'm asking, like the psalmist, what can I give back? You want to ask God what you can give back? Well, He said, He has everything. Well, almost everything. I will serve tirelessly, and I will worship faithfully, and I will give generously, and Lord, I will die trusting in You. The last verse of that text we read, verse number 15, says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." You don't have enough vocabulary to be able to describe how wonderful the benefits of God have been and are right now in your life. Webster's dictionary doesn't hold enough wonderful adjectives to fully describe how good God is to us. And He's good all the time. Amen.